fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I want to talk this morning about the most amazing chapter in the entire Bible, in the mind of many people, chapter 8 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a letter that I touch on periodically, and I think it's important because it's, in some way, it describes the very summit of the Christian life. It describes in one chapter, it defines for us what's at the heart of being, what it means to be Christian, and it describes what Christ has done in us. And the whole chapter is very Trinitarian. That is, you see the work of the Father, the work of the Holy Spirit, and you see the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thought I'd take it up this week and probably spend this entire week on just this one chapter, because we could probably spend a month on it. But it's the kind of truth that is crucial for us to be able to both understand who we are, but it's the kind of truth that can heal our minds, renew our spirits, give us confidence and clarity about what Christ has accomplished in us, and it gives us a possibility of laying hold of that work of God in such a way that leads us to deeper and deeper freedom and joy and peace, and we'll see that as we go through it. You see the work of the Holy Spirit in this passage. You see the work of the gift of Jesus Christ and his sonship, the offer of the Son by the Father, whose heart is moved to reach out and to save his people who've fallen into the power of sin and death. And then Paul will also talk about the role of suffering in the Christian life and what that means. And I know all of you are listening, you've all known a little bit of suffering. Maybe some of you have known a lot of suffering in your life. And the Christian understanding of the meaning of human suffering is a very important part of what it means to live with a renewed mind. It's important for us to understand the Christian understanding of human suffering so that we can live in freedom and peace in the midst of that trial. But let's begin right with verse 1. Paul begins, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Paul wants us to know and to be clear that because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because of his dying and rising, the shedding of his blood, and dealing with sin, that the accuser of the brethren, that is, who Satan, who would accuse us before the throne of God as having fallen short of God's glory, having sinned against God's law and commandments, and therefore we stand condemned before God, Jesus silenced the accusation of the enemy, the condemnation that's there, and that we no longer, because of the work of Christ, have to fear standing before the judgment seat of God. Paul explains why here. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death." There's three fundamental ways that St. Paul talks about the law in this letter. First, the most basic way is the Torah itself, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, God's revelation there. So it's that law, the law that God gave to his people when he covenanted with them, called them to live a new way of life according to that law, according to the commandments, number one. The second law is a principle, Paul describes, that's at work within us. It's the law of sin and death, that there's something in us that's fallen and broken and has a tendency to resist God and say yes to sin, to say yes to the very thing that's going to kill us or destroy it. The church talks about that as concupiscence. And it's an indwelling principle of power at work in us that renders us completely incapable of fulfilling the heart of the law. And the heart of the law is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart of the law. What Paul's been teaching us through this whole letter, and what he wants to lay out for us here in chapter 8, is that the flesh at work in us, this principle of sin at work in us, renders us incapable of freely choosing and living in love without the help of the Holy Spirit. The whole transformational work that Jesus accomplishes in us, the reason he came and took on human flesh, he came to deal with the sin problem that's at work within each and every one of us, and he wants to give us his heart, a share in his own spirit, in his capacity to love the Father and give to the Father what belongs to him, to love God and to love neighbor as we're called to. So again, in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So he's talking about the law of the Spirit of life that's in Jesus, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit that was alive in him. Jesus came forth from the Jordan River after he was baptized by John, and he declared a fundamental truth about himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," as the Messiah. He's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor and ultimately to bring liberty to captives." It's that Spirit at work in Jesus that allows Jesus and empowers Jesus in his mission to fulfill the Father's entire purpose for him, to give to God what belongs to God, to do justice to God, where every other human heart could not on its own strength give to God what belongs to God, to love God the way he commands us to, in a way he deserves to be loved and trusted and obeyed. Jesus could. He did it. It's that Spirit that not only led Jesus into his mission, into his life, and anointed him for everything that he was to fulfill in the Father's purpose. It's that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that Paul says, it's that same Spirit that set us free and sets every human who's baptized into Christ, sets us free from the law of sin and death. That power, that principle at work within us that leads us to say no to God and say yes to ourselves and say yes to our flesh. And the third law is this law of the Spirit. So it's the Torah is the first law. The second law is this principle of concupiscence within us. And the third law is the law of the Spirit. And this is what Jesus wants to pass on to us. We're starting to touch on what is at the very heart of what it means to be Christian. This is so beautiful. It's verse 3 now. It says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Well, there's a mouthful in these two verses. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." Okay, just underlining what I said just a minute ago. God did something in his Son, Jesus Christ, that could not be done in us. We could not, again, give to God what belongs to him because of the weakness of sinful flesh within us. So what did the Lord do? What did God the Father do? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but have everlasting life." He sent his Son. You can see here how the work of salvation, of rescue, of transformation, of new creation, it's Trinitarian right at the core. You see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all being talked about here. And you see how clear Paul's mind is, his mind renewed in understanding and faith, the work that the Father was accomplishing through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So what does he mean in the likeness of sinful flesh? He means that Jesus was incarnate. He actually took on human flesh. He became one of us and he was like us in every way but sin. It said, so he sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He came to do what? He came to deal with the problem of sin, to destroy sin. It's the sin problem and the death problem that produces eternal death, that separates us from God. The sin problem produces the death problem. As Paul said earlier, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He said, death comes through sin. All men sin, therefore all men die. Jesus came as a man. He came free of sin to destroy sin's power over human flesh. Verse 4, he says, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in his flesh on the cross. God's condemnation of sin, his judgment against sin, is revealed on the cross of Jesus Christ. You can see on that cross, in the broken, bleeding, sacrificial life of Jesus Christ, as Pope John Paul II said, we see the face of sin. We see sin's rejection of God, rejection of God's offer of love. We see the power of sin at work crucifying Christ. Jesus laid down his life in his human flesh on that cross. Sin itself was condemned in the offering of Jesus, the offering of his life as a sacrifice for our sin. The power of sin and death was broken in that deed, that act of love on the cross, by which the love of God is perfectly revealed in the Son, in Jesus, who gives to God what every single one of us were made to give to God, we're called to give to God, we're commanded to give to God, full trust, full love, full surrender. Jesus offers himself in that way to the Father in that moment. And it's a love offering that he's giving for our sake. He becomes a sacrifice for sin, a pure and holy offering to God. And the shedding of his blood, as the Old Testament said, there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, the blood of the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, cleanses us of all sin because he first breaks the power of sin and wipes it out through his blood. And his blood, as an offering of life to the Father, an offering that the Father receives on our behalf, a blessing that now radiates to all of us as we're united in the Holy Spirit to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we're able to be united to the Spirit because that very sacrifice cleanses us of all that separates us from God, which is sin and sin's domination over us. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What's the just requirement of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. How is that possible? It's possible because the Spirit of the Son, that same Spirit at work in Jesus Christ, who did give to the Father what belongs to him, is now given to those who are baptized into Jesus. It's part of what Jesus meant in John chapter 3. He said, unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. This gift of the Holy Spirit makes you a new creation, makes you a son of God, a daughter of God. That indwelling principle now is in you, this Holy Spirit given to you, is stronger than the principle of concupiscence, your fallen nature. And you're now given a new heart to fulfill the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel, who prophesied that the Messiah would come and he would give to us a new heart, a new capacity from the core of our being. He would remove our stony heart, our hardened heart, our sin-sick heart, and he would give to us the heart of Jesus. He would make it possible from the core of our being. He said, I will put my law within you. And here it is, right, the core of what it means to be a Christian. It's a work of God that we cooperate with, but that we receive. He gives us his own Spirit to give us a new heart, the heart of a child, a daughter of God, a son of God, that can love God. He puts the law of God, which is what? To love God right in our heart. And this is the beginning of the new life as a son or daughter of God. You can see there's just so much here that is directly applicable to where we are today, how we live out our lives every day, and being able to see what God has done and that he's doing in us allows us to cooperate with that work. And the more we cooperate with that work, the more we conform ourselves to Christ, become little Christs, and say yes to that call to be saints that's fundamentally given to us in Christ. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.